News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
We're talking about EU leaders convening this emergency summit this week to consider how to push back against Donald Trump's ambitions to take over Greenland and threatening his allies with fresh tariffs. More on this in a moment, but Ciara, this is an evolving story. He's saying it's all about security, but none of us really believe that.
No, we don't. And I think this is a test of the mettle of Europe, not just of NATO, because NATO is compromised here because obviously the US being a major player within NATO, but of the EU. This is a test of the union bit of the European Union. And this is a Danish territory, a semi-autonomous Danish territory. This is sovereign territory of Denmark and indeed Greenland, neither of whom want to be sold to the US. And at this point, and I understand the cost of this for Ireland. I genuinely do. I have often thought sometimes we have burnt some political capital with the US by firing shots about things that weren't really in our own backyard. But this is different. This is a threat to this, and sort of an existential threat to Europe itself. And I think this can only be met with a show of strength from Europe. I think anything else is the wrong strategy, because Trump will get worse with appeasement. He's that kind of man.
Well, appeasement won't get very far on this one, because he's going to keep pushing. Mm-hmm. And also, what's he distracting us from? That's the other question you almost have to ask with Donald Trump. Something else is happening and he's using this as a smokescreen. A little earlier, I spoke with Matt Meyer, who's a conservative policy expert, a former Bush administration senior official. I started by asking him what Donald Trump's actual play is.
I mean, look, I think the ultimate play is China is a threat in the Arctic Circle. He doesn't believe Denmark or the EU have the military capacity or will to push back on that. It's a national security threat for America. So, you know, he wants Greenland in some form or fashion. And that's really the big question, is which form or fashion does he want it?
But the obvious problem is that Greenland is not for sale. It is a sovereign territory. And what is the difference between Russia annexing Crimea and what Donald Trump is proposing?
Yeah, well, I mean, if he goes in with military force, there really isn't a difference, right? But I think the way to look at this, you know, Donald Trump, if you read Art of the Deal, if you watch what he's done over the first term and then the first year, is he wants to expand the playing field, the pitch, as wide and as long as he can to give him as much room to negotiate as possible. And I think that's why he's taking such an aggressive approach, knowing at the end of the day, he's probably not going to get to buy or take Greenland, but there will be some type of expanded U.S. presence there, different than what it is today, that will allow him to feel like, you know, the U.S. is protected from an incursion from China or Russia.
But could he not just have asked? They are a NATO country. There's a U.S. presence there now. If he went through the NATO process, he would get that. So why the grandstanding? Why all this prevarication and provocation of people who are supposed to be his allies?
Because I don't think he fundamentally sees Europe as his ally. I think the way he looks at Europe is they've mistreated America for decades on trade. They never meet their obligation under NATO for the 4% budget, defense budgets. And at the end of the day, they can't even project force to Libya, let alone, you know, Greenland, without American assistance. And so I think his view is, you know, you can ask, but, you know, they're not going to do anything. They're going to take this approach. And, you know, as you know, 1,000 years of European history, borders are always changing. So, you know, it's not impossible to think that, you know, Greenland could become part of the U.S. in some form or fashion. And that's kind of how he sees it, I bet.
We've seen up to this point an appeasement, a dangerous word to use, but an appeasement of Donald Trump, telling him how great he is and how he's a friend and you know, giving him prizes and so on. It now appears that the EU is coming at this from a different perspective. The U.S. has threatened tariffs. Now EU tariffs of $93 billion could be put on American companies trading into the European bloc. Now, that is not an insignificant threat.
No, it's not. But, you know, I think there's two ways of looking at this, right? Mark Rutte is the guy who's a, you know, blow up Donald Trump to make him feel good about himself, you know, give stuff into him and hopefully we get a good deal out of this. Or there is the confrontational, the EU way of doing it. And my guess is, and this is, as you know, the reality, the EU gets far more out of the US than we get from Europe. And so, you know, if we're going to get into a tariff war, it's only going to hurt Europe, where most of the economies are already stagnant or declining.
Okay.
Versus America, you know.
Hold on, I'm going to push back a bit on that, Matt. The only people who are really suffering in the tariff war are the American people, who have to pay the tariffs that are being imposed on them by someone who arguably doesn't really understand how tariffs work.
Well, that's not what the data is showing, right? The data is showing it's not impacting inflation, and lots of money's coming in. Prices aren't going up because of that. So there isn't actually data so far to support the idea that the American consumer is the one paying the tariffs versus the, you know, countries that are then issuing, and the companies over there that are paying the tariffs to America. So,
well, who's paying?
If it's not the
American public who's paying the tariffs, who's paying the tariffs?
Well, the European countries or the companies there that are paying the tariffs, because again, the data is not indicating rising prices because of the tariffs. So,
but
you know,
prices are still
rising.
That may
happen eventually, but it's not happening right now.
Okay. We are in the middle of this absolutely unprecedented situation. And there are people within Donald Trump's own party who are decrying this threat to the sovereignty of Greenland, who have visited the country, who are very clearly uncomfortable with this. Are they going to find some gumption this week, do you think, the more the saber rattling continues?
I mean, that's really the old neocon globalist Republican establishment. And no, I don't, because at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, the Republican Party is really Donald Trump's party today. And that hasn't moved an inch when you look at the support he gets from within the party. So, you know, you're going to have the old saber rattlers of the Cheney Bush era, but they don't amount to much, and they don't have the power to push back that much on him.
We know that the phrase when it comes to tariffs is tackle. Trump always chickens out. Do you think the European Union is betting on that?
They probably are. I mean, at the end of the day, I think, you know, I'm not a big fan of tariffs, but I do want to give Trump the space to use them to get better trade deals. I don't like he's going to use them for the Greenland piece. I don't think good policy. But again, you know, he's, I think, just trying to expand that field as wide and broad as he can to try to get the best deal on Greenland that he can possibly get. And that's how we always operate. So it doesn't surprise me.
Matt Maher, a former Bush administration senior official there. Dan Mulhall's on the line. He's former ambassador of Ireland to the United States. Dan, they're not trying to fight this in the Republican Party, as we've just heard. Europe's going to have to stand up on this. But what can and should they do?
Well, look, this is a uniquely difficult situation, because I don't think anybody anticipated things getting to this stage. But we now have the threat of tariffs, punitive tariffs being imposed on a number of EU countries in 2 weeks' time. And I just don't think it's possible for the EU to just take that lying down. I think there has to be some reaction. Now, it's a difficult choice that has to be made, because there's no one in the right mind would want to see a thing like this, a serious trade conflict between the US and the EU, given the importance of transatlantic trade and investment for both economies. But I sort of fear that, you know, the last straw may have been reached, and we may now be at a point where the EU has little option but to hit back with some kind of equivalent trade tariff impositions on the US. Although that would be painful for the EU as well as for the US.
Trump put on social media last night, NATO has been telling Denmark for 20 years, you have to get the Russian threat away from Greenland. Denmark hasn't been able to do anything about it. He's having a fight with Denmark. Does he realise he's picking a fight with Europe?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he does, but he may not be too concerned about that. But taking on Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela is one thing, because I don't think that many Americans had much time for the Venezuelan regime of Maduro. Taking on the European Union, America's firmest and best allies for the last 70 years, that's a different story. And I know you say that so far the Republican Party hasn't shown much willingness to take on Trump on this one, but I still think that the one core principle that still matters to many Republicans is the transatlantic alliance. And I'm not sure all the Republican senators will be willing to see it go down the tubes.
This is a new diplomacy. It's a new landscape.
What is the ultimate effect of those tariffs going to be? Is it going to do the opposite of what Donald Trump is suggesting should happen? Is it going to force Europe maybe into alliances elsewhere, pushing them towards China, pushing them towards the Middle East? What's going to happen if America and Europe fall out to this degree, Dan?
Well, look, I mean, you saw that the Mercosur agreement was signed this week. That agreement's been out there for the last 20 years more. The fact that it was agreed this year shows that there's a recognition in the European Union that the Union needs to get its act together and to diversify its trading relationships. I don't think the EU can ever have a kind of an alliance, the kind of alliance with China, the kind of partnership with China that they have with the United States for the last 80 years. But I do think that options to do with diversification away from the United States has to be seriously considered by the European Union now, given this recent experience and given how difficult it is to deal with the United States in its current condition.
We've been hearing dire warnings about the impact on Ireland of these tariffs should they go through. We heard them before, of course, and Trump backed down. But is there merit in that argument that Ireland is particularly exposed should this go ahead?
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, Ireland has probably been one of the biggest beneficiaries of the transatlantic relationship over the last 30 years or so. So clearly, if EU-US relations go backwards into decline, then Ireland is disproportionately exposed to that situation. So that also points to a need for us to, not be quite so reliant on transatlantic trade because of the uncertainties that surround that particular relationship at the moment. But there's no easy way. This is not something that can be resolved with everyone feeling, happy and contented. This is something that, nobody wants to see this happening. There'll be pain all around. And I fear the pain will be particularly apparent in the case of Ireland, given the particular nature of our economy. There's no way around that, in my view.
Dan Mulhall, former ambassador of Ireland to the United States. Do you share Dan's concern there that there's no way around this and we will feel pain? Or is this going to, like all the other Trump threats, peter out when reality dawns on the markets? 53106 for your text, 087-1400-106 for your WhatsApps.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.